When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. Wow, those are powerful, powerful words. When we believe he's all we need, that will be a defining moment for us. I'm going to speak this morning on what defines you. So that's a great song for what I'm going to talk about. I'm really excited to share this with you because I've had a lot of time to think about what defines a person in the last few months. So here's a question I want you to ask yourself. How long do you think you're going to live on this earth? Now, I'm going to say just right off, I'm going to have you tell your neighbor how long you think you're going to be around here. This is not prophetic. Nobody will be held to this, okay? So how long do you think? How do you think? My grandmother lived till like 93 or 97. She lived forever. Other people live shorter amount of time. How long do you think you're going to live? Tell your neighbor. Okay, does everybody have a number? Everybody got a number? Okay. You know, you don't know that. God's the only one who knows it. But some of you know kind of by your family, if you're going to live a long time or, you know, there's different things. But ultimately, when you look at it, life is pretty short. It's short. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to spend this life that God has given us here on earth? Will you waste it or will you invest the time that you have? It's been very interesting for Phil and I, who Pastor Tom said that Phil was in North Carolina and preached two services this morning, and I think he's done now, so he's happy. So, but we've been going back and forth between Boise, Idaho, and Port Ludlow, Washington, which is about two opposite directions. So we'll go down to Boise, and then we'll come home for a while, and then we'll go over to Port Ludlow, because my dad was dying of cancer, and his mom was dying of pancreatic cancer also, and they were both on hospice. And a couple weeks ago on October 4th, my father passed away, and his mom is well under 90 pounds now, so she's hanging on, and but I don't know how much longer till she gets to go see Jesus too. So but it's been really interesting going through this process back and forth and thinking about life and death, both at the same time. Thinking about life. Now, my dad, for those of you who knew him and those of you who don't, is a planner. So he had this plan. He really wanted to come over here in June. He was very, very ill, but he wanted to come over here in June and go down to a little trailer we got down on the Clearwater River and spend some time with our family. And he goes, I've got some writing I want you to do while you're here. And I'm like, okay. So a couple days went by and he was just really, really sick. And then finally I got out my little computer and I said, okay, Dad, let's do that writing before the time's up. You know, let's do the writing that you want me to do for you. So I pull it out. He asked me to start writing. This is in June. He asked me to write. I was born in 1940. He asked me to write his obituary. I'm like, seriously, you're going to have me? So I'm like writing it. He told me the name of the school he went to. He told me the papers he wanted it listed in. And I kind of had to pretend I was doing it for somebody else, you know. And then I'm like, then I just at the end started just going, and you're survived by your long suffering, amazing, beautiful wife of 55 years and three great daughters. And I sort of went on, but you know, he's a planner, so he wanted to make sure that we got that information correct. It was real interesting, though, when we actually did have to write the obituary and send it in. I took the base of what he wrote, but I'm like, wow, this is really just kind of just the facts, ma'am. You know, very boring, and it didn't really say, it just said sort of what had happened, but not really who he was. So we added a few things to it. But I've had a lot of time to think about what defines them, and I was thinking about Phil's mom and just about knowing her and when she's gone. She's not yet, but when she's gone, what will we remember her by? And anyone in our family, she has these hand motions she uses when she talks, and we all talk like, you know, pretend we're her, and everybody laughs. But she has an infectious laugh. When she talks to Phil on the phone, it's not very long, and I hear him laughing, at her laughing, and she's laughing, and he laughs more, and you kind of laugh just listening to the conversation. It's very infectious, and I know he's really going to miss that. When I thought about my dad and what defines him, and at the memorial service in Port Ludlow, and then probably here too, I had to do a part of the eulogy, and that's really fun, you know. And so I'm like, okay, what do I remember? What do I remember about my dad? And I realized that one thing that really impacts me about him is that he had an amazing ability to see in the spirit something completed before it was done in the natural. And he had vision, and that was a really powerful thing. But one thing about people dying, and many of you have already gone through this, had parents die, or friends, or aunts and uncles, grandma and grandpas. But one thing is, once kind of the novelty, I don't know what else to call it, once kind of the trauma is over, life goes on. It has to. That's the way we were created, to go on with life. And so after a while, people don't remember everything that was written in your obituary. People don't remember the comments that people made at your funeral. People are going to just remember one thing about you. And that's what they're going to carry with them. Pastor Gail Hunter was director of children's ministry here years ago. She died at a fairly young age. And I remember her funeral being very long. And people just shared and shared and shared. And, you know, the cool thing about that was, what I remember about her is she had a love to minister to children. And to see that lived out even today in Nancy Backus and Linda Pepple and so many who Pastor Gail imparted into, and now they're living that legacy of what she gave them, that love for children to minister to children. So what's the thing that you're going to do that's going to imprint, that's going to affect those around you to live differently because you touched their lives? Those are important things to think about. They don't just happen. So when someone's gone, what will we remember? When you're gone, what will people say about you? Better yet, what do people say about you now, here, while you're alive? People describe you by what defines you. What defines you? What do people say? He's a great dad. She has a wonderful heart for children. He complains a lot. She's a wonderful grandma. He's grumpy. She's mean. He just got promoted at work. She has an intimate relationship with Jesus. Pastor Sherry, oh my gosh, she was at the conference that we were just at this weekend, the women's retreat, and one of the gals had to introduce her who didn't know her very well, and she said, you know, I don't know her very well, but I just want to call her Pastor Sparkle, because you could just see that sparkle in her eyes, and of course she likes sparkly clothing too, so it was just really cute how she described my mom as Pastor Sparkle. He's funny. Boy, now she can bake a pie. Who does that make you think of? Peggy Lang makes amazing pies. So does Kathleen McCoy. What a voice. Who does that make you think of? People who can just sing so well. What are the things that describe you? How would you describe yourself? Can you think? If you had to just pick one word to describe yourself, do you know what it would be? Hold on to that for a minute, because we'll come back to that. Let's look at Jesus. How was Jesus described? Jesus was described as a servant. If we look in Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He was described as one who pleased his Father. "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Wow, that's a great thing to be said about you. John 8:29. He was described as the good shepherd, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the true vine, the resurrection, and the life. And it goes on and on and on. And any one of those, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to be described like him, that's awesome. I mean, he was an amazing example of being described as something and that living beyond him. How was Paul described? In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul wasn't afraid to say that he was a chief of sinners. And in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul was willing to say about himself, "I have kept the faith." That's a good thing for all of us to say about ourselves. So how are you described? If you stop, like really stop for a moment, and try to think of one or two words that people would describe, that they would use to describe you, what would it be? You know, when I've thought about that, I don't really like all the words I come up with either. You know, what would people use to describe you? It's really, really difficult. So people describe you by what defines you. Let's look at this video and see if it will help a little. interesting. In the video it said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Paul was not defined by who or what was around him. His life was defined by who lived within him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Are you described as a follower of Jesus Christ? If somebody is describing you to another person, do they describe you as, you know, first and foremost, she's a follower of Jesus Christ, and then she's a secretary at the university or whatever. How do people describe you? Does following Jesus define everything about you? It's really interesting. Like, if we're honest with ourselves, we define ourselves. We all want people to define us that way, but we don't define ourselves that way. We don't define others that way. We tell people people ask about my kids, I tell them how many children they have or what jobs they're doing. But how wonderful if the first thing that would come to my mind is, you know what? Our children are followers of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And then they do this and this and this. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. What is the thing that you're excited to share with others about yourself? What you love most will define who you are, what you become, and what you will do with your life. And it's interesting because I would say what you love the most, and if I'm going to tell somebody about myself, I go, okay, what do I love the most about myself that I want them to know about me? And it's very easy for me to tell people, we have 8 grandchildren, because I love those little kids. I love them. They are so fun. Every single one of them has a different personality. And I think they're fantastic almost all the time. Except for when they poke holes in my furniture. That's not my favorite thing. But on the most part, I love these kids. And so because I love them so much, I want them to help define me. I like telling people I'm a grandma. I have a lot of little grandkids. That's fun for me. I love that. But first and foremost should be my love for Jesus Christ. That I'm a follower of Christ. That I'm a Christian. That I love Jesus. Am I excited to tell others about that? Whew, does a little soul searching. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It says in Matthew 6:21. Be in love with Jesus. That's really what this is all about. If you are in love with Jesus, then out of that overflow, people are going to know what it is that really defines you. If you're in love with Jesus, some here, maybe you don't know him. You've never met him. Today's a great day to accept Jesus into your heart and start that personal relationship with him. If you know him, but you've fallen away into sin and complacency, and it's clouded that relationship with him, then today's a good day to get right with him. Come back to him. Renew that relationship with him. Repent and come back to him. The cool thing is repentance is a gift that is given to us. It's not a shameful thing. It's a wonderful thing. When we repent, oh, it's such a gift. And it's so hard to do because our pride is so strong. But if we will just humble ourselves and repent, it is amazing what God will do. And after my dad died, there was just, oh my goodness, so many decisions to make, so many people with strong opinions in our family, and there was a little bit of conflict here and there, and one day I just kind of let it get to me, and I'm like, wow, I'm really being a brat, you know, and I had to just go downstairs and just repent, take time, and just go, Lord, I'm being a brat today. Oh, who's this ministering to? And I was able to go to him, humble myself, repent, and go, okay, I don't have to be that way. That's not really who I am. Who I am as a follower of Christ, and I can act that way, act like a grown up, and handle these situations with grace. And it really helped me to just admit it, not just try and change on my own. It doesn't work all the time. You can't just change on your own. Go to him. Humble yourself and repent. It's an amazing thing that he will do in your heart. If your love has grown cold for him, refresh it with Jesus. He wants you to be in love with him. So my first point was what defines you. My second point is make sure that what defines you matters. Some people have the coolest cars and all they ever talk about is their car. But does that really matter in the economy of God? In a world of fast food, throwaway consumption, make sure that what defines you are the things that matter in the economy of God, in the whole whole scope and realm of the kingdom of God. Relationship with Jesus, character, integrity, service, being a part of something bigger than yourself. These are things that matter. Get some vision for yourself and see how God can and will use you. You are not created just to exist. I love the fact you're here this morning. I love the fact that we get to come together and worship God together. That is powerful. But you're not created to just sit in a pew. You are created to do something for God, to be used by Him, to find your niche in His kingdom and fulfill it to the very best of your ability. He can and will use you. Find out what He's called you to do so that you can move forward in that. Life, Soren Kierkegaard said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Wow, that makes it really hard, you know? We're created to walk in His steps and live like Him in a hurting world that needs Jesus, but sometimes we kind of mess up, and hindsight's 20/20, but we don't get to live like that. We don't get to wait and see how to do it and then go back and relive it. You can't. So we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But it's okay because He's guiding us and we can move forward in His steps. Follow the steps of Jesus. We don't know exactly how life's going to turn out. But because of this, it's imperative that we make sure that we are living our life for something that matters. So many things that take our time and energy just don't matter. For all those who love control, there's a few in this room. If you love control, really stop and ask yourself, is this thing that I'm having a power struggle over or that I'm trying to take control of, is it something that really matters in the overall scope? So many fights between husbands and wives are over stupid things. Little tiny things that really don't matter. If we could just stop and go, wait a second, this is not worth a break in relationship. It's just not worth it. So let's make sure that we're living our life for something that matters in the eternal economy of God. Number three, make sure that what defines you lasts. Lasts. Not something that's temporary, that's temporal, that's just going to fade away like a breath, but something that lasts. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Genesis 3:19. And it was really interesting watching my father die and hearing that kind of death rattle that they breathe. And then just realizing he's gone. I mean, it's just a shell now. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. He's not really there. His spirit, his soul is not there anymore. And our earthly bodies will not last. They're going to become like dust over time. They're going to come like dust, just gone. And yet all the time and effort we put into them to make them look just right, dress them just right, be just the perfect everything. We work so hard, but they're gone. They're going to be gone. Make sure that what you're investing in is something that's going to last. D.L. Moody, who was one of the world's greatest evangelists, who preached for 40 years, founded three Christian schools, and inspired many preachers after him. Sometime after his death, this is what he said. Sometime before his death, not after. Wow, that's a little... That's not a typo. I have it written right. I just read it wrong. Woo! Sometime before his death, he said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all. Out of this old clay tenement of a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. It is said that he died after a restless night, saying, earth recedes, heaven opens before me. When his son concluded his father was dreaming, he responded, no, this is a dream. When his son said, dad, you're dreaming, the dad said, no, this is no dream. It is beautiful. It is like a trance. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. I love that. God is calling me and I must go. Our spirits are going to live forever. God is calling me and I must go. D.L. Moody knew that he would be more alive in heaven than he was here on this earth. And he knew that his eternal soul was going to last. So that's so important that we invest in things that are eternal, that are going to last. We need that eternal perspective because our world closes in on us and all we can see is what the world around us says. But we need to get God's vision for what he says in the heavenlies and know what we're living for and that we're living for something that lasts. We need that eternal perspective. With truth from Scripture and reinforcement through relationships with other Christians, we can both define and maintain our kingdom perspective more easily. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God is so powerful. It is so important for us to be washing ourselves with the world, with the Word, because that Word will always give you that eternal perspective. When you feel just weighted down by the world, open up the Word of God and let it breathe life, eternal life upon you. You know, you can't take wealth or health or fame with you to heaven. None of those things that we work so hard for here on earth. You know, when thinking about myself and some of the other amazing people in our congregation, there's some of us that are really dealing with some issues of chronic pain. Horrible chronic pain. And it can be amazingly consuming. Just pain and how it affects your body, how it affects your whole, everything about you to just go through chronic pain. And if you haven't had it, God bless you. That's awesome. For those of you who have, you know what I'm talking about how it can just be such a weight on your shoulders. And it can be very consuming trying to figure out how to deal with it, especially when the doctors don't know what's wrong with you and the pain is still so great and you're not, how do you handle it? And as I've thought about this and some of the things that I've gone through with my chronic pain and how consuming it can be, I realized, you know what? I don't want my pain to define me. I don't want my pain to be what my life is about. I don't. Whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, for me it's physical pain, and I don't want that to be the thing that defines me. And yet it is very real, and it is very painful, but I don't want that to be what defines me as a person. And even though it's hard and so painful, you know what? It's not going to last. In Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And it says, "And behold, he makes all things new." So no matter how consuming my pain is or your pain is, it will not last. I cannot let it define me. I have got to find a way in my spirit to rise above it and let Jesus be what defines me, not my pain. You know, you might be going through a tough time at work or with your finances, but it will not last. You need to know that. That's temporary. It's temporal. It's not going to last. In the midst of it, you can turn to God who will last and learn what he has to teach you through it. You know, because the pain will not last, I need to be careful to not let it define me and not let my life revolve around it, but let my life revolve around Jesus and what he's teaching me. You know, we learn things by what we suffer. He takes us through things and we don't know it, but boy, it's amazing how something that you go through, you can have so much more compassion on others when there's something that you've gone through. So realize, instead of just fighting whatever it is God's got you in, pray for deliverance. That's great. I do. I pray for healing. But also, I want to make sure that I learn what it is that God wants me to learn in the process. I want to know what he's teaching me through this. Only Jesus. I know he's teaching me only Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus in the midst of this life. I need Jesus to help me. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. He will help you in your trouble. He will help you. He will be there. Make sure to ask him, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this?" You know, the Hebrews of the faith in, the heroes of the faith in Hebrews, sorry, it's been a crazy few weeks. The heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, you know, every single one of them had some sort of trial or circumstance or something that they had to go through. If you read all those names, feel free to, in Hebrews 11, every single one of them had some huge thing that they had to overcome to be listed in that group of people as heroes of our faith, as a cloud of witnesses around us. But the cool thing about them is no matter what the situations and circumstances that they had to go through, they did not let it define them. They let their faith define them. And that's why they're called heroes of our faith. Because their circumstances did not define them. Their faith is the thing that defined them. God's kingdom lasts forever. A.W. Tozer says, when the followers of Jesus Christ lose their interest in heaven, they will no longer be happy Christians. And when they are no longer happy Christians, they cannot be a powerful force in a sad and sinful world. Wow. We need to stay in love with Jesus because there's a hurting world out there that needs us to shine His light. He said, I'm the light of the world, and He wants us to be that light to this world. His kingdom is the one that lasts forever and ever. So I'm asking you, think about it today. What is it that defines you? Is it that you always have the newest electronic device, or that you're going to get 4 degrees when you graduate from college, or that you've got a new promotion at work? Or is it Jesus Christ that defines you? Is it that you're a woman with 6 kids and you're overwhelmed by diapers? Man, those are all things that you have to take care of, but don't let that define you. Let it define you that you're a woman of God or a man of God that's working through their situations and circumstances to bring glory to His name, that's going to live for eternity. What defines you? Make sure that what defines you matters, that it's something that matters. Make sure that what defines you lasts, that it's something that's going to last. Abraham Lincoln said, and in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. The life that you get to live now. Now, before we're gone. That's what matters. It's those things for eternity where we can touch the hearts of others because Jesus touched our heart. Oh, take time to think about it and pray about what defines you. Make sure that you are living now in a way that will leave a legacy of those things that really matter and of those things that will last for eternity. Amen.